One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and today in Cops Say Legalized Drugs, we go all the way out to the island state of Hawaii and say aloha to Leroy Washington. Leroy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and aloha.
Is it Leroy or Leroy?
I've had several ways, but I'm fine with either one.
Okay, let's go with Leroy then.
According
to your bio here, you spent 34 years as a probation officer and 25 years of that as a federal officer in Seattle, and a long, long career in law enforcement having to deal with the federal side of the drug war. And I'm just curious, as we start to look at the movement in the federal government, some of the senators, people like Cory Booker, are standing up against mass incarceration. I gotta imagine this is none too soon from your perspective. Tell us what it was like in the federal system and why you feel that drugs need to be legalized.
Well, to begin with, the history of the war on drugs really, I think, in its ideal sense, look towards interdiction. Addressing drug importation almost at the corporate level, in reality, it really ended up, and over the years has been, at the street level. And as you know from the statistics, the majority of individuals incarcerated are mostly low-level drug users or distributors. And as happened with the prohibition against alcohol, really this is a public health issue that needs to be regulated.
You know, at the federal level, when we discuss this issue, people that defend the current policies will say that, well, they're not really going after the small-time users when it comes to the federal level. They're really going after the kingpins. How much truth is there to that?
Again, in an ideological sense, that was the intent, I believe, from the original war. But the reality is that the majority of the folks that I dealt with directly, and statistics would show, are really low-level distributors and users.
And as far as that part goes, a lot of that is owed to the mandatory minimum sentencing. It must have been frustrating for you having to deal with federal probationers who could get out on all sorts of other charges, fraud, embezzlement, kidnapping, extortion, whatever it might be, but still remain locked up for something like marijuana trafficking. Did you see that often?
I saw a fair amount of that, yes. More of the mandatory minimums regarding the distribution of either crack cocaine or cocaine, higher-level Schedule I drugs, but the repeated use of marijuana can build up against you, for example, in California with the three strike laws and so forth. So not as much on the marijuana level as I did at the felony level with harder drugs.
And when it comes to law enforcement, just in general, how has this war on drugs affected the relationship between the law enforcement and the communities out there who are affected by this?
Well, again, I kind of look back at the statistics as to who is most directly impacted. You will find that our poor and minority communities are more likely to be arrested and convicted and incarcerated than you find in some of our more affluent communities.
Yeah, and that's something that was pointed out wonderfully by Michelle Alexander in her book, The New Jim Crow.
Absolutely.
And it seems to me that a lot of people are coming around on this issue of mass incarceration and the drug war due to the vast disproportionate nature of its enforcement on African-American and Latino communities. I know Washington, D.C., that was a major part of their legalization push. Do you think that this has gained traction thanks to having, for at least a while, an African-American attorney general and an African-American president? Could this have gone as fast with white people in office, you think?
Well, I think these persons in office have highlighted it perhaps more than it has in the past. The statistics have been there. The U.S. Sentencing Commission and a number of private and public studies have shown these trends for years. I think, however, that this is more coming to light because of the presence of African Americans in the presidency and at the Attorney General's level.
Yeah, it really seems like it's a lot of disparate factors are coalescing here between Obama and Holder being elected, Michelle Alexander's book, the legalization movements that are happening in the Western states. What do you see as the next step at the federal level? I know that the senators Booker, Gillibrand, and Paul have introduced a medical marijuana bill at the federal level, but how long do you think we're out from doing something about marijuana, you know, recreationally at the federal level?
That's the question I don't think I have really a definite answer for. Mm-hmm. But that is the crux of the issue. The issue with regard to federal law as opposed to state law has to be resolved at some level in order for us to move forward effectively. And how long that process is going to take, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know that the interest is building, and I hope it continues to do so. But to give you a definite answer, I couldn't predict that.
Sure. Hard to predict anything in Washington, D.C. We're speaking with Leroy Washington. He's a speaker for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, a federal probation officer retired out of Kamuela, Hawaii. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, Big Island, the island of Hawaii. Okay. The town is actually Waimea, but for postal services, it's Kamuela, because there are three Waimeas in the Hawaiian chain.
Oh, okay. So that could be a little bit confusing. If you are interested in getting a speaker like Leroy to speak at your local events, LEAP has hundreds of these speakers all around the world. Check out leap.cc or copsaylegalizeddrugs.com, and you can find out more about that. Let me ask you something on more of a meta level with respect to the criminal justice system. You write in your bio here about how the criminal justice system has lurched from one crisis to another and ignores the studies, the social science studies that tell us how we could better serve our communities. What sort of reforms would you like to see? I mean, aside obviously from, you know, reforming the drug war, that could aid in not being a reactive but being a proactive criminal justice system?
Well, I don't know how much time we have to discuss this, so I'll try to keep this very brief. The drug war in incarcerating individuals, I think, has almost taken the attitude that we can incarcerate these individuals, lock them up, and they'll never return to the community. Even with mandatory minimum sentences, an individual arrested at 18 to 24 with a 5-year mandatory, 10, 15, and so forth, unless he is killed in jail, is going to come back to the community. So often, when these individuals are incarcerated, the rehabilitation aspect is ignored or forgotten about. Years ago, before the war on drugs, if you look at the history of corrections and so forth, the emphasis was much more toward the rehabilitation of individuals. That seems to have been lost, in my experience, in this current era with the war on drugs. So many of these young people are incarcerated, and depending on the length of their sentence, many of the programs within the federal institutions, they're not eligible until they, what they call, so many months or years short. So there is a dead time period, again, depending upon the length of their sentence, when they're not receiving little or no treatment. And one of the things that we have to change in our approach, I believe, is that when an arrest, indictment, and so forth goes on with an individual and those people come before the court, rehabilitation has to be a factor from the very beginning, throughout its whole, their whole contract and association with the criminal justice system. If we don't do that, we're basically giving individuals PhDs in criminality in the institution and they're coming back to the street. And, of course, then there's the reaction of mass releases and so forth that have been proposed and has been happening with the changes in the laws under the sentencing guidelines. So we have to go back and review some of our history and look at the fact of providing a plan and program toward rehabilitation for these individuals being released eventually back in the community. And they're coming back to the community that they come from in large measure.
And there are other reforms that have been proposed. I know here in Portland, there was just recently a hearing at the City Hall on a subject called Ban the Box, which is to get rid of the little checkbox on application forms that whether or not you've been convicted of a crime. Are there other aspects outside of the, you know, the system that we could use to things like that, that we could use to further these goals?
Well, that's a really good example. We have taken so many rights away for especially felons that are found guilty in our courts and incarcerated. The ability to receive welfare benefits, the right to vote, the acknowledgement of a crime in the past, all work against an individual rehabilitating himself and readjusting, coming back to the community. So I think it's a holistic approach that we need to take in assisting individuals that have paid their debt to society, served their time, and giving them the ability and the means with which to integrate back into society as productive citizens.
Very well put. Thank you so much. Leroy Washington, a federal probation officer, now retired and living in beautiful Hawaii with all the sun in the world, I suppose, these days, huh?
Well, we get the whole weather gamut over here. It's overcast and cloudy today where I am.
Oh, well. All right. Well, we hope to get good weather coming up for you soon. Enjoy yourself. And Leroy, thank you so much for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show. We look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thank you very much.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. When we come back, we're going to take a look at our government at work. We've got footage from the state capital of Oregon, Salem, Oregon, where myself, Herb Thrasher, and Wiz Calico made our way down to listen to suggestions about how we ought to modify our marijuana legalization law. Suggestions that were brought forth by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. That's right, Liquor Control Commission's in charge of our marijuana here. That's how crazy legalization's getting. Stay tuned, we're back right after the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.